Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we're consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
Stephanie, this season we've heard from a lot of community leaders about the housing crisis in Utah.
Goldcrest Homes is finding a solution by designing, Scott, get this, whole communities with basement apartments.
Wow. And these apartments are even up to the city's code. I'm telling you guys, you're going to love the Lofty Nest.
And to tell us more, we have Kristen Mortensen. So, Scott, I heard a rumor that Kristen was the first female president of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association.
Well, I heard that, too. And the question is it true? And it was a great time, right, Kristen?
Yeah, it was a great time. 2008, when the market went, that was a real challenge. Yeah. That was a tough time for a lot of builders.
Baptism by fire.
Yeah, yeah. Having been in about 15 parade of homes prior to that time, within a couple of years of that, we had to shutter that company, as a lot of builders did.
Yeah.
I met with a new company now, Goldcrest Homes. We've been at it for about 2 years, and this is our first parade of homes entry.
Which is awesome. So tell us about this home.
We are calling the home the Lofty Nest.
Ooh.
The Lofty Nest.
It sounds comfortable. I'm excited.
It's comfortable, and it's a really fun house. Of course, with our mascot is a bird. The Goldcrest is the Royal Bird of England. So a nest is one of the images we like to use, and we say that we build a lovely nest for your flock.
So, I love that. That's so cute.
It brings up fun images and warm, kind of warm images.
Yeah, and different.
Well, a nest does.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And it kind of plays a little bit to our passion to build what women want, mm-hmm. you know. Women are the ones that are so concerned about their nest. And so.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because when you just said that statement, I said, really, what does that mean? But it is totally true because, you know, when it comes to, I've been married for a long time and every house that we've been in, my wife has really been the person who has been most concerned about different aspects. And I've just been most concerned about her, meaning
that
she's happy. And the garage. Yeah, you're right.
Statistics done with Home Builders Association, they validate that because they say that, you know, in over 80% of the sales of new homes, it's the woman that drives it.
Yeah.
She's the one that wants to upgrade. She probably is the one that has an expanding family and is the one that takes care of all the details of managing the house. So they're the ones that drive that. So that's, we're always looking at things from the woman's point of view.
Love that. Yeah. So paint me a picture of this. What does it look like? What are some unique features?
It's I call it a nest with some surprises. So
okay. We
have a kind of unique subdivision in Tooele. It's an infill subdivision. It's right next to a regional park, and it's on an old creek. Now they call it a drainage or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's been water in, but there but a few times in the last 100 years, you know. But it provides a really nice open space. It's quite deep, and it provides a nice open space behind our subdivision. And this house is right on, we say it's on the water. But it's nice because you don't have a fence with a neighbor, you know, right behind you.
Yeah.
So it's one of those lots. And
well, what does it look out over then? Is it like reeds or?
Just some trees and some, you know, some natural vegetation.
Yeah, sure.
Scott loves water, so you're speaking his language right now.
Anything with water, I'm a four.
Yeah. So this house has a wonderful, it's a two-story house and has three bedrooms on the second floor. And the master bedroom has a little Juliet balcony that looks over the great room.
Mm.
So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
It's really, and it's, you know, it's that's why I say it's lofty. You know, we have a nice little loft on the second floor with a little study area, and so it's that's quite unique.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that is the most unique about the house is that we have a fully code and ordinance compliant accessory dwelling unit in the basement. So you can legally rent that little one bedroom apartment to anybody you want. It doesn't have to be rented to a family member.
Mm-hmm.
So
does it have an outside entrance?
It has an outside entrance. Mm-hmm. And this is part of Tooele has a very enlightened ordinance to deal with accessory dwelling units. And as you may be aware, that's becoming a more important feature of a home because, and you see them sprouting up all around you. And most of the cities haven't really provided, they kind of resist it.
Yeah.
And yet it just happens. People do it.
People seem to be doing it, whether it's legal or not.
They do. And that's,
and there's some issues that come up with that. Not only the dwelling issue, it's the parking.
The parking is the big issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the cities will create an enlightened ordinance like Tooele has, then they can manage that instead of fight it.
Yeah.
And so that's what they've done. So in order to have a fully compliant accessory dwelling unit, you need to have parking off street and behind the setback. So then your street is not,
filled with cars.
Yeah. And so that's the first thing. And then we have to have a separate entrance and you have to have a separate mailbox.
Yeah.
Then the unit itself needs to have its own heat source. And you can think about that, all the apartments where upstairs controls what's happening
downstairs.
Yeah. And then sound attenuation between the floors.
This house has that?
This house has all those things.
So you're not going to hear if you're above. And, of course, that is one of the main problems.
Yeah.
You know, if you're above and the person's down below, they're always hearing everything's going on.
Yeah.
So what is it's soundproof?
It's soundproof. It's a thick layer of rock wool that's between the floors. And when our insulation contractor, when I last ran into him out there, he had just done one. We've got about half a dozen houses out there that are like this right now. And he says, come down here, listen to this. You can just feel the sound deadening, can't you? And I was like, yeah, it does. It really works, doesn't it? So we're excited about that. Another thing that we do, we just automatically do this anyway. We do these great big window wells that let in a lot of light into the basement, and they have an integrated stone-looking steps out. So most basements have these nasty metal window wells with an old rebar, rusty ladder coming out. But these are really attractive. They let in tons of natural light. You don't feel like you're in a basement.
I'm real interested in that because I have what I would consider to be kind of a nasty in my basement, you know, these window wells on them that just look disgusting.
Yeah.
And so your view out is kind of like, I'd rather close the blinds, you know, and then you lose all the light, but it just looks so nasty. I'm trying to picture this.
Yeah. Oh, they're actually manufactured here in Utah.
Yeah.
The company's name is Rockwell, and they're actually manufactured. I think it's in Mapleton. They're fiberglass, but they look like rock. You can get them in a couple of different colors. They are a little more expensive, obviously, you know, but they're so worth it. And I'm just amazed that more Utah builders
don't use it.
They manufacture these and ship them all over the country. And I think this local company, and I think we're the only one that uses them.
Can you put them into existing?
Oh yeah,
you can.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you could. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to get a little mini X in there and dig it out. And
I just have to say, growing up, my mom had those in our stairwells, and going to other places that don't have them, it's like I forget that really stairwells are just that tin because my mom always had these, and it just makes it look more inviting and like a little extra, especially on a new house.
Yeah.
You don't want to just have this ugly, yeah. you have yeah. these brand new windows, this ugly mm-hmm. window well to look at. So I think that that is fantastic to already have that in the house. And I think that this is such a cool concept because here we've been talking to so many local experts about growth in Utah, what should be done to prepare. Mm-hmm. And especially how you said that Twila has these ordinances, but if you have an existing house, that's hard to do the soundproofing. You know, it's just a little bit, yeah. or to get that entrance going down. But to build these houses already up to code for people, it just shows another way that people can afford real estate and be able to rent it out. And it's realistic.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because as the cost of homes go up and up, and now interest rates too, mm-hmm. how do you justify spending $600,000 on a home? If you can rent that basement for $1,600-$1,700 a month, that can pay a third of your mortgage payment.
Right.
Or think about this. Say a husband and wife need both of their incomes to qualify for that mortgage. What if one of them loses their job?
Right.
Then you have the option of just renting the basement. I started on this journey a while ago because just basically thinking about basements. We finish all of our basements and we do it right. We start right at the very beginning with the planning. We think through where those windows are going to, because we are finishing it, we do a floor plan. We consider where the ceiling drops for the heating runs are going to be. And then we always do 9-foot foundation walls so that so you don't have that.
That makes a huge difference because most basements you go down and you feel like, I don't know. For me, I'm a small guy. So me, I feel like I'm a giant guy in those things. You know, practically, you know, but anybody who's 6'5", you don't even know if they can walk around in those places.
Yeah, it's miserable.
It is.
I have a son that lives in Iowa. He calls them coffin basements.
That's a good name.
It's kind of how you feel. So, you know, this all started out about really, because again, as homes get more and more expensive, you can literally double your square footage if you think that basement through and make it intelligent. Then now you've got real livable square footage instead of just a dark, nasty home.
Well, and I also think about that for people that are wanting a forever home, right?
Yeah.
When they become empty nesters and their kids are gone, a lot of times people are like, this is too much space. And then they're retired. It's sort of that investment plan that you... Like if you have a large family, you can use both spaces. But if you don't need it to be able to rent it out or Airbnb it or whatever it might be.
Yeah. In the last subdivision I did, we did all of these. We would put these little mini, I call them a mini kitchen. It's a fully functional kitchen. And we're not doing them all in Twila, but we are pre-plumbing and pre-wiring for them. So if you ever want to come back later mm-hmm. and add that little mini kitchen. But as we sold those homes, it was really astonishing to me how many different needs people have for that separate little domicile. You know, I had a couple of women who had adult sons who hadn't married and were still living in their basement. I had 4 unmarried siblings who bought a house and, you know, kind of divided up. Mm-hmm. I had an older couple who were hang gliders and they had people always coming from all over mm-hmm. the country to fly, you know, at the flight park at Point of the Mountain. And they had a really nice place where they could come and stay. Yeah. And it's kind of sets the expectation. Don't be coming upstairs for dinner with a mm-hmm. knife and a fork. You got your own little kitchen down there, you know, just do that. We had every conceivable situation where that little apartment was used.
You talked about being in the business for a long time, 44 years. Yeah. So now 44, I was living 44 years ago. I know you weren't, Stephanie, but I've been around a lot longer than that. And 44 years ago, what possessed you to be, as a woman back then, which was so different than it is now.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the idea to become a builder?
Yeah, it was kind of a random set of events. You know, my parents built a home when I was 10 years old, and I was enthralled with the process. I had my little nose on the blueprints the whole time, and I thought, oh, this would be cool. I could be an architect. So when I went to college, I went to the counseling department to see what it takes to become an architect, you know, and they said, well, are you really, really good at math? Are you really, really good at art? And I went, well, I'm kind of good at math and I'm kind of good at art. They said, well, the thing for you, you should be a nurse, a secretary, or a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
Where you were steered.
That's then. Where you were steered. Women had those three options of those careers. I became a teacher so that, heaven forbid, I should have to go into the workforce if something happened to my husband. And so that's what I was planning. But my husband's corporation transferred an executive. And they knew I had done a couple little remodeling jobs. And somebody down at corporate said, ask your wife if she will finish up that guy's. He had just started building his dream house up on the hill. And the corporation needed to purchase that and get it on the market so he could be relocated. They asked me if I would finish that up for him. And I could choose the colors. Wouldn't that be fun? And I said, well, yeah, that would be fun. I'll do that. So I finished up that house. And what I learned was that there was no magic in it. It was just plain work. Planning.
Yeah.
Follow through, follow through, follow through. And so I did a project right after that. And we relocated a lot and during those years, about every 18 months. And I would always say, oh, that's so much work. Next time we move, I'm not going to build a house for us. I'm going to just buy one. But then we'd look at what's on the market and I'd know what I could build it for. And I'd end up building it again. And then when I lived in California, I had an opportunity to build homes for another with another builder. And that's where I got my general contractor's license in California. So.
Okay, so you said that you had done a few remodels. Was that just for your own home?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, it was finishing basements mostly.
Yeah. Okay, so where did you learn how to do that? Did you have someone that like showed you?
Well, mostly it's learning how to build a budget and getting the bids and then, you know, doing the plans. I've also drawn a lot of the plans. I have quite a bit of interest in that. And again, that is passion driven by how houses function.
Well, you know, it is funny that you get into a house, and I even say this right now with my house, which is a decent sized home, but I you know, so many times my wife says, what was the builders thinking when they built this, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why is the spacing not exactly right in these particular spots, whether it's the kitchen or the master bedroom or one of the other rooms? And they go, weren't they thinking about the practical use of this?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently you do.
Yeah, no, if you, yeah. You know, women are passionate about their homes and they're passionate about how they function because they're the ones that have to manage them. So
to hear that you just sort of, it wasn't really something that you set out to do, but you just had these little opportunities.
Yeah.
And then, so then you become a general contractor. And was it intimidating at first to be the only girl, I assume, in the room?
You know, it never was. And, you know, when I was first starting to build, all those tradesmen, I've always called them my trade partners. They taught me, you know, a general contractor knows a little bit about a lot of things, enough to be dangerous. Yeah. I have always relied on my trade contractors as the experts, and they have taught me over the years, and I'm just very grateful to all of them. So I've just had lots of terrific framers and electricians and plumbers and roofers and painters and all the people that actually make it happen in the field.
So a follow-up with that, what would be your advice to women wanting to be a general contractor? What do you, like going back all those years, what do you wish that you would have?
Well, nowadays, you can actually go to school in construction management. and learn everything that I learned the hard way by making mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
And there are women in the field, but there are women in every aspect of construction now. In fact, the Salt Lake Home Builders Association, they did a house entirely built by women. And I don't know if Jaron told you about that, but it's
the house that she built.
The house that she built. Yeah.
I remember that.
And it's captured attention nationwide. Everybody wants to talk about when members of the association go to Washington, D.C. or any of their annual meetings. That's all anybody wants to talk about. And when I did this prior to this subdivision in Tooele, I did one in Bluffdale. And I still remember the day when we were just getting started that the excavator that showed up with her great big track hoe was a woman.
Yeah.
Operating that track hoe. I have had women who have done heating and air conditioning, lots of women in painting. I've seen women show up to help with exterior siding. More and more, women are finding that they can actually do a lot of the hands-on work. And it's kind of a good career for a lot of women. It's the kind of thing that you can do, maybe take a couple of years off and have a baby and then jump right back in.
And then come right back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then women are really good at organizing and following up. I always, you know, do the phone signal, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, do you swing a hammer? No, but I'm you know,
I'm following up behind everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like your experience has been actually fairly positive, would you say?
It has been, you know. I love the construction industry, and it's in fact I'm coming up pretty close to having built 1,000 homes.
Wow.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that is, when I started over 40 years ago,
Have they all been in Utah?
No, Idaho.
Or all over?
Yeah, all over.
Because
Idaho,
I know you said you traveled.
Yeah, Idaho moved. And Oregon and California, mostly before coming here in 1994.
That's exciting. And now you've started this new journey with Goldcrest.
Right.
And so you said they've been around for 2 years.
Right.
And I was looking at the website and I loved just your guys' like mission and everything. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
I have two partners. They're on the land development side. My partner, Gerald Anderson, he's the principal, and he has delivered 35,000 lots over the last 35 years. So that's an average of 1,000 lots a year. He's one of the biggest land developers in the state. He knows that game really well. He's the guy that bought the Geneva Steel site and created the Village Vineyard.
Oh, okay.
He's a very creative thinker, high energy guy. And anyway, my previous company was getting ready to buy lots from him from, you know, that Geneva Steel site, which is Vineyard. And then the market collapsed and I went and did some other things and he was busy salvaging all the land deals that he had put together before that hard time. But we remained friends and he would always say, we should do something together. I'll do the horizontal, you do the vertical. And I'd say, yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And things happened and it never happened. And then a couple of years ago, he called me, he says, hey, why don't you come and help me do these lots in Tooele? And he has a grandson-in-law that's interested in learning the business. And so that's been my mission to get this construction company up and started and share my experience. And
has there been a lot of homes out in Tooele that have been in Parade of Homes?
I don't think so. You know,
I don't recall, but
when I first started building in Utah, one of my second subdivision was out in Tooele, and that house was my first parade house. That was probably about 1996. But I think we have three this year in Tooele.
Oh, how nice.
So that should be wonderful. It should give people a good reason to go out there. Did you know that Tooele is the seventh fastest growing county in the country?
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we had on the Utah Real Estate Podcast a couple of years ago, I guess it was just last year.
Yeah, I guess it was last
year. I don't know if you know Jared Stewart. He's over the economic development for Tooele City. Okay. And after that episode, because he told us all the cool things that were happening and the just like the 5-year plan for it. And afterwards, I was like, to Scott, I was like, he sold that really well. I want to go get a property in Tooele, you know. But
they have some water out there in Tooele, man-made, I think.
Yeah. Well, Tooele is so close, too.
Yeah,
I mean, it just takes 30 minutes from downtown. Mm-hmm. There's like 3 traffic lights. I mean, it's a quick commute. And it's interesting because it's just on the other side of the mountains, and so you don't have that continual hum and buzz of I-15.
Yeah.
It's a little quiet and kind of rural.
You have a kind of a peaceful feeling.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles say, peaceful, easy feeling.
Yeah. Love your pop culture references. A little bit with this house, you know, you painted us a picture of it, but is there something that you particularly love about the house?
Yeah, I love, it's not a really big house, but I think it's really well designed. It's opened, and the great room has a really tall ceiling with a natural beam and this great big tall fireplace. So that's why I call it the lofty nest. It's got some height to it.
Yeah.
And I like a kitchen that has what we call a working pantry. So we have great big butcher block, breadboard type countertop actually in the pantry, and you can put your mixer and your...
You're killing me.
Yeah.
My pantry is just so small. My wife complains to me every day about it, and I keep thinking about knocking out a wall or something, making that pantry bigger.
Yeah.
So the vision of that, I'm like, oh gosh, I wish I had that.
You put your toaster in there. You go in there to make your sandwiches. When people come, you close the door.
Yeah,
you
know, all the messes.
And kitchens nowadays are open to the living spaces more than ever. And they're more formal in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always do a big island. And we put extra storage on the back of the island for all those things you only use once or twice a year. And the trend is away from lots of little narrow upper cabinets to more open feeling kitchen. So most of the storage is in the base cabinets and in the pantry. So it's a real spacious, open feel. This kitchen island, that's where people live nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the kids perch to do their homework. That's where people just settle and watch TV or something while they're fixing dinner. That is important, that the space around that island, the way that traffic circulates and moves around it, is important.
As you're talking about this, because 2 of my sister-in-laws are moving, and that extra pantry is like something that's very key for a lot of people that are moving. They're looking for that. But to have that and the apartment downstairs that you could rent out, I'm like, that is a dream home to so many people. And like you said, that it's not as much space as some of these houses, but it's more realistic for the majority of the population, because we all want that 22,000 square foot house. But how realistic that is for people, not as much, you know?
And how many square footage? What's the square footage of it?
It's about 1,000 square feet in the basement apartment. And then about, I think it's, 1,600.
So it's about a total of about 2,600?
Yeah.
That's a good size.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice size home and cozy.
And cozy, and cozy, but lofty.
but then that you have that the fireplace and the vaulted ceiling there. Like it's just all those features that most people are looking for. So I'm excited to see this, to see what, like, a realistic house. Like, because we just did an episode where we were talking about dream houses. My dream house is a lazy river and a wave pool. And I know that that's not coming anytime soon. But this house is something that I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this could be more down the road.
Well, the other thing that our company is really passionate about, you know, and again, this place to women love beauty, right? Guys love their garages, but women want their houses to look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're all about curb appeal. In a subdivision like ours out in Tooele, 87 lots, most builders would maybe do 3-4 plans and then just change them up a little bit, the exteriors. We have 13 plans.
Wow.
And then those all have variations too. So this subdivision does not read like a production subdivision. It looks more like a custom home subdivision. We really, really put a lot of effort into making the exteriors look nice and distinctive, not just your same old box on box. And this house, our parade house, is what we call a modern farmhouse. And that fireplace that is so tall on the inside, it's tall on the outside, big, massive stone fireplace on the outside with tall windows. And it's really attractive. Mm. We've done some contemporary houses out there, too, and they've been really popular. We've had a lot of fun with that.
Is this one of the first homes in the subdivision done, or
this one of the one of the we've only have about 20 or 25 homes left out there.
That's what I was going to ask. After the parade, I'm sure that everyone will want to see. So, is there a like sales office close to the parade?
We have done a little different approach there too. Yeah. Instead of having a model home dedicated to just model hours, mm-hmm. as we have finished homes, we have staged them. That's a whole different industry that didn't uh-huh. exist when I first started, right. You know. We stage them and show them for a few weeks, and then when they sell, we move the furnishings to other houses.
Yeah.
We have three out there that are staged right now, and just a different wide variety of different home styles.
Are you going to have information there for the other model homes?
Yeah, we have an open house every Saturday.
Okay.
And we have, our salespeople are available too. They're almost always out there during the week. Uh-huh. And so if somebody wanted to take a drive to Tooele and
take a look.
But we have numbers on our website. You can give our salespeople a call and they'll be glad to meet you out there and show you what we have.
Everyone wants the basement apartment.
Oh, for many, the mother-in-law.
Like I was telling you, that last community I did actually had mother-in-law come to visit. I chuckle, the people that lived in one of the houses, their mother-in-law came to visit. And then after a few days, they realized that, oh, she's here to stay.
She's not visiting. All of a sudden, here comes the 20 suitcases.
Yeah. And then they realize that, oh, goodness, she needs to stay. And so instead of putting her in the basement apartment, they actually had to move her upstairs. And then the next thing you know, their adult son is renting, you know, the basement apartment. So they, three generations.
Right there.
Yeah.
But when you have something that there's the designated parking for people, it's new, it's nice, there's a separate entrance, there's a separate mailbox. It's a no-brainer to be able to rent to people. So, of course, a family member hears it's open and they're like, dibs, I want to live there.
We're even going to dedicate a little corner of the yard next to the basement access. So our apartment will have their own little patio.
A
little access to the outside.
Oh, nice.
We'll have a little screen between the two. Mm-hmm. We've tried to, it's a perfect house because people can come and go from this apartment without walking past like your dining room window or anything.
Yeah, that's
it.
Nice.
It comes from the side and just goes down in the basement. The people in the main house won't even see.
Know that you're there.
They won't know you're
and
coming.
With the
going
sound
attenuation.
Yeah.
Attenuation. It's like, it's like nobody's even living
right?
there, Steph.
Yeah. Well, and Scott,
it's like their mother-in-law just disappeared.
Well, remember when we did that episode about basements?
Yes.
Like, a while back, you're going to do stairways going down. That sounded like that was a lot more expensive than I even thought. And so it seems like it's worth it to just do it all.
It's so much less to do it when you do the construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that much harder to do the foundation walls for that stairway, and we like to put a roof over that so that it's sheltered from the elements.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's just
I want one where you just have like a fire pole that you and climb on the way
back. Like here it is, Scott.
A little hard to take groceries down that fire hole.
A little rough.
So are these type of communities, and I'm really just asking for myself because I'm so intrigued, is it only in Tooele?
We are going to be starting another community in Riverdale.
Okay.
So, and we are planning to do the same thing. We do have a couple of other, we have a community in American Fork. And then we're going to be also doing some townhomes in Riverton. Those probably won't have separate basement. So wherever we can, we're doing this. And like I mentioned, you know, our community in Bear Lake, there are areas there where they do Airbnb rentals or short-term rentals. And that is really popular in the resort areas.
For a vacation place when you aren't there to be able to rent it out. And
You
guys are creating all these communities that can really help provide more housing for people.
Yeah.
That's a way they can keep their kids here.
Yeah.
Because if your kids can't afford a brand new house now, they can go into the basement and live there for and forever.
Well, forever or until I get a down payment saved or whatever, you know, the need is. It's really tough right now.
Yeah.
For the rising generation to be able to have the kind of houses that you and I
grew up in
and just, you know, always thought we were going to be able to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And you don't have to see that they haven't done their dishes or that their like socks are out. It's like they get to have their own separate space. You know, they're taken care of.
Is there anyone you want to give a shout out to that was helpful in building this home?
Yeah. All of our trade partners have been amazing. We have the Oregon Framing did our framing. We have Western Valley has done all the exteriors on the house, and they've been so great to try our new ideas and things that are just a little different from what a lot of the other production builders do. We've had Paradise Heating and Air has done a fabulous job on our heating and cooling.
Which is important, especially in the summer right now.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Inline landscape is amazing. They've come up with some great ideas for our landscaping. I hate to start down this path because I'm going to forget somebody. But we have had just some tremendous trade partners, and we're grateful for them and their excellent work. If you come out and visit us, you'll see their excellent work.
So you got to make sure, Stephanie, you go out to see The Lofty Nest by Goldcrest Homes. Take a quick crow's fly straight out to Twilla.
Now that you've listened to this episode, make sure to grab your ticket for the 2022 Salt Lake Parade of Homes.
Yeah, and for all you listeners out there, we got a deal for you because we have connections. If you use the code Utah Real Estate Podcast, you get $3 off. And if you're lucky, Steph, you may even be able to meet the Silver Dollar Man out there.
If they could be so lucky, Scott. Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember that you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.